Peace, family. It's your man, Mo Morris, and welcome to Hood Radio. What's up, family? It's your man, Mo Morris, the one-man army. What's up, family? It's your man, Mo Morris, the one-man army. What's up, family? It's your man, Mo Morris, the one-man army, family. You already know the slogan. If you ask me how I do, I'ma tell you I'm winning just like you. If you ask me how I do, I'ma tell you I'm winning just like you. If you ask me how I do, I'ma tell you I'm winning just like you. Cause we winning. What's up, family? It's your man, Mo Morris, the one-man army. And you know, family, I'ma jump right into it, family. I'm on the mic right now, man. I'm fired up, family. You know, I'm fired up, family. What am I fired up about, family? I'm fired up about being black. You understand what I'm saying, family? I'm a black man. I've been a black male every day of my life. You understand me? I mean, every day of my life, I've been a black male, family. I'm proud to be black, family. You understand what I'm saying? It ain't enough to walk around with the skin color, family. You got to let a cat know, man. I'm proud to be a black man, family. Ain't no shame in my game about being a black man, family. You understand me? I don't walk around with my head down because I'm black. I don't walk around with my head down because I'm from the inner city of Chicago, family. Ain't nobody gonna make me feel guilty and bad about being black. Ain't nobody gonna make me feel ashamed about being black. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying to you this morning, family? Family, we got to get rid of the guilt trip about being a black person. You understand what I'm saying? And the reason we feeling guilty because we buying into somebody else's brand on being black. You understand what I'm saying? You know, enough of that, family. Enough of that. Enough of walking around here with your head down because you black. Because they sitting up here and they presenting us as criminals and all this, that, and the third. The reason they presenting us as criminals is because we're allowing them to do that. You understand me? Black folks, we have authority. You know, we don't walk around with enough authority in our spirit because we black. And we don't believe that being black means that you have authority. Well, damn it, you need to wake up, partner. You need to wake up, sister. You need to wake up, brother. You need to wake up, teenager. You know, we walking around this joint believing that we live in a zoo and we from the jungle and all this foolishness. We running around here, we allowing youngins to set the pace for what it is to be a black person. Because what is glorified in our community is what is promoted to us. You understand what I'm saying? We running around here believing it, and we scared of our own community, family. We scared of young men and young women from our community, family. We feel these kids gonna kill us. No, I don't feel like that, family. I feel these kids gonna learn from us because that's how I'm approaching them. I ain't scared of my people. I don't walk around with fear, do you? I'm not scared of these boys out here in the street. For what? They just like me. I was them once upon a time, and they going to be me one day. So what am I scared of them for? And if you sit up here blaming their mindset, you got something to do with their mindset or their lack thereof. If you don't like what's going on in our community, if you don't like what's going on in our culture, if you don't like what's going on with our people, what are you doing to change it? You know, brothers and sisters, we walk around complaining too much. You know, black person, think about this for a minute. You'll walk around and get depressed before you decide to go do something. I'm talking about for our people. You know, I've been walking around asking brothers this question. I've been asking brothers, can black men stop killing black men? And so then I rephrase it. I say, okay, in five years, can black men stop being the number one murderer of black men? I'm asking you that question, brother. I'm asking you that question, sister. I'm asking you that question, teenager. In five years, can black men stop being the number one murderer of black men? If we could get that number to drop, we will have that much more success in our community. And I ain't just on the phone this morning to sit up here and hoof and holler and cry and foam at the mouth and get something out of me. Excuse me. That's not what I'm doing, family. I'm coming with a plan. And I'm talking about a simple one. I'm talking about a simple one, family. I'm talking about a simple one. I'm saying let's project into the future, family. Let's quit crying about what's going on right now, family, and do something about it and prepare the future for it, family. Did you know that if a child, and this is incredible, if a child is reading by the third grade on grade level, that child is less likely to be a criminal. Did you hear that? If a child is reading on grade level by third grade, if a child is reading on grade level by the third grade, he or she is less likely to be a criminal, to less likely to underperform, to less likely to underachieve. They will believe in education if they can read by third grade. So you mean to tell me that when we apply reading to our children, then nobody say nothing about money, then nobody say nothing about Jordans, then nobody say nothing about clothes, did nobody say they got to grow up in a mansion, did nobody say they got to have a Bentley, did nobody say they got to have a rap contract? They said that if a child is reading by third grade, on grade level, he or she is less likely to underachieve, to be a criminal, to be lackluster. All our babies got to do is know how to read. And our people going to be all right. Now, do we have anybody in the room that's opposed to that? Yet, some of our kids, a lot of our children are reading below grade level. Why is that? So are we saying that our parents don't care? I'm not going to sit up here and say every parent don't care about their child. I'm not going to do that. We have a lot of immature young ladies and immature young men becoming parents, though. That's when we need to address the problem in our community. We need to say, man, okay, we got this challenge. Like, one of the challenges we have is they tell us, but from what we see, it might be true, that we have a problem with men not being fathers in their community. Men not being fathers in their community. Men not taking care of their children. And I get it. It be issues with the mama. It's crazy. Some brothers just got to deal with baby mama drama for the rest of their life. But brothers, you don't have to deal with baby mama drama if you don't have a baby mama. I'll say that again. You will not have to deal with baby mama drama if you don't have a baby mama. And you won't have a baby mama if you don't have a baby. It's just that simple. If we want the crime to begin to decrease, then we have to address teen pregnancy. If we want our children to be reading on grade level by third grade, that means we have to have mature parents raising our children, committed parents raising our children. We have to have things in place to support those parents that are raising our children, who are our future. We have to care more about each other. We got to care more about each other. I'm talking about, let's give it two years where our children are reading in the house every day, where our children are not getting pregnant anymore because we have control of our boys. So you got to get control of your males. The reason we're facing all the death and destruction in our community because black males are doing it. Black males are doing it because black males don't feel empowered by education. Black males don't feel empowered by education because, and I'm not trying to generalize all black males. I'm talking about our brothers that drift to the street, right? They don't feel empowered by education, but they feel empowered by the street because our young males are craving something. And, you know, people are like, oh, they're craving their dad and this, that, and the third. When you listen to criminals, you know, I was listening to this brother who used to run the jail system in a county here in Georgia. He said when he did his study, he would go around and talk to murderers. He would talk to murderers and he would ask them, where did things go wrong? How did you become a murderer, man? What was the beginning of this? And he said each one of them said They didn't feel loved as a child. So here it is, an unloved child can turn into a murderer. Now think about that now. An unloved child can turn into a murderer. Strictly if they don't feel loved by their family, by those that are supposed to love them. That unloved child, more than likely, is going to turn into a criminal. And at worst, not only are they going to turn into a criminal, but they're going to turn into a murderer because they were not loved. And who has a child and can't love that child? Well, that's an immature person. That's a mentally immature person. That's an emotionally immature person. We're having, brothers and sisters, we have to address the fact that we have to stand up and say some things in our community. And yes, young ladies need to stop getting pregnant. That's true. But young ladies cannot get pregnant without immature boys impregnating them. Period. This starts with the brothers. And black men, we got a whole list. This is on us. Immature men need to stop having babies. And you just need to be 100 with yourself. If you are an immature brother, if you know you lacking in certain areas in your life. And the good thing, brother, is it's not going to always be like that. It's not. But you got to work on yourself. You got to improve yourself. You have to consciously look inside yourself and deal with yourself. I had to do it. You know, bros, don't nobody give a damn if your daddy was in your life or not. Don't nobody care except you. And that's something to care about. But at the same time, the fact that your father might not have been in your life, or your father was in your life, but he was mean, or your mama wasn't in your life, or your mother was in your life, she was very negative to you and things like that, or your mama died early. Hey man, this is all part of life, family. These challenges all come with life, family, but these challenges are not excuses. Hey man, don't nobody give a damn about an excuse. Something that might be real and important to you, that might not take place. That might not take place for everybody else. Everybody else might not see it like that. There are challenges that come with life, y'all. And we have to be tough enough to take on these challenges. And you ain't got no choice to take it on if it's in your life. If there's a challenge when you're within your life, you have to have the courage and the strength to stand up to it. And yes, you're going to need support. But man, what if you don't have the type of support you feel you need? Do that mean you just fail? Brothers and sisters, we have to stop accepting failure. We have to stop believing that failure is okay. We got to stop walking around with our lip poked out, crying and complaining about things going on in our life. Brothers and sisters, we got to learn how to address issues and challenges and how to defeat challenges. We have to embrace that throughout our culture. We got to stop making excuses for people who are being detrimental to our community. You know, when you look at the education system, you know, the thing that I don't like how an institution acts overwhelmed. You know, the educational institutions in this society, in the black communities, and I ain't gonna even say in the brown communities, y'all. I'm not. And the reason I'm not going to say that is because the brown communities have political support. The brown communities have executive orders from presidents that says that they're supposed to get the best quality education. And you think I'm lying? President George Bush, the son, he wrote an executive order for the Hispanics. President Obama wrote one for the Hispanics. I'm talking about executive orders mandating that Hispanics, the Spanish, the Mexican, the brown community, they got top-notch education mandates signed by presidents. So, no, I ain't talking about the brown community, family. Black folks ain't got one executive order on the books written by, you name me a president that wrote an executive order that's focused strictly on black folks. I'll wait. So I'm not sitting up here saying all of us, brown and black, now family. I'm talking about black communities, family. We are facing challenges inside our education system. We just are. And we, our education institution feels, it proclaims that it is so overwhelmed. You know, I listen to politicians talk, and they talk so negative about black people in a calm manner. You know, they're not calling black folks out their name or anything like that, but they show enough. Like they say, you got politicians running around here saying that if a child can't eat at school, a child won't eat. If a child can't eat in school, that child won't eat. Is that true? And if that's the case, if you got a family that is so poor that they can't feed their children, then should that family even have those children? And then you got to put them in the system. Then here we go. But you mean to tell me the educational institutions in our community, family, they are government institutions, family. And it's all about how you view the government. You know, in one area, you got the government acting weak when it comes to educating our children, right? The government, they act like it ain't no money. They act like it ain't no programs. They act like it ain't no brothers out here, no sisters out here that have programming to get into the building to make a difference, right? They act like that is just not out here on the planet, and they just act like they ain't nothing they could do. And they can just throw their hands up, right? But then the same government can take those children that were locked up by President Trump, those Mexican children that were locked up on the border, the same government that act like they can't do nothing for our children in education can turn around and help these children who were wrongly detained. Children in cages is wrong. No question about it. But then this same government can pay those families money now. And these families were trying to come into this country illegally. This same government can bring in immigrants from other countries. What, Ukraine. Think about all them Ukrainians, man. Russia invaded Ukraine. Ukraine started going towards the border. America was sending planes over there to fly these people over here and give them housing in this country. These are facts. This is not an angry black man on the microphone. And they paying them. They finding a way. They providing housing and all this, that, and the third. This is the same government that's sending financial aid. I'm talking about billions of dollars. They sending billions of dollars all across the world to provide aid for other countries. But when it comes to our educational system, I'm talking about our public education system, which is government control, they act like they so overwhelmed. And this is to our children, y'all. This is happening to our children. I'm talking about the children that we prayed for. I'm talking about the child that while it was in your stomach, Big Mama was praying over the baby and you had to drink the water and all these things, all these baby showers we had. I was out eating the other day and there was a baby shower. Brother and sister was up there. They having a girl. Right? But what are they going to do for that little girl? I'm talking about everybody praying for a child and everybody believe in having a child. And we don't believe in abortion and all this, that, and the third. Then these babies get here and then you realize how expensive a child is. Children don't come with instructions, y'all. Right? But then you got these people that are underwhelming, underperforming when it comes to educating our children. You know, Malcolm X said that only a fool would allow his enemy to educate his child. Only a fool would allow his enemy to educate their children. Now, black people, just sit back and think about that for a minute. Only a fool would allow his enemy to educate his children. That comes from one of the greatest black leaders of all time. One of the purest black leaders. Malcolm X was not corrupt. Malcolm X wasn't in it for the money, y'all. Malcolm X was fighting for a people, fighting against a system that he saw as ill towards black people. Yeah, he was a Muslim. Nah, he didn't eat no pork. Nah, he wasn't balling out of control. Nah, he wasn't. But that black man was telling black people the truth. And the truth is, we are allowing our children to be educated in a system that will not provide all the resources needed to educate them. Because these are Americans. Our children are Americans. These are Americans. And these, our children are being in buildings that are underwhelming. They're going to schools that don't have the top notch, the best of the best. The teachers are burnt out. And our children go to, violence is rampant. Right? It seems like based on the facts, you know, where the jail system and the school system, they change, they trade data with each other. The school system gives the jails the low reading scores so they can understand how many jail cells to build. I mean, when you really look at it, family, do I want my children to continue to be educated in a system that has partnered with the jail system? Now, you can have the partnerships you want to have. You can have the partnerships you want to have. You're supposed to go out and network and come together and make some things happen. You are. Our government, we trust our government to do right by our children because it's our government. That's how we're being trained, right? But when we look at our children, when we look at our children and the education system that's educating our children, America is not even in the top 10 when it comes to education throughout the world. But we're number one when it comes to war prep and weaponry and army and the vehicles we got and the missiles we got and the guns we got. It's the same government. It's the same government that looks like they so overwhelmed when it comes to educating our children. But we have the number one arsenal in the world. We're in the top 10 in that for damn sure. When it comes to war, America is in the top 10. But when it comes to education, America is not in the public education. America is not in the top 10. Why is that? What is important to you, brothers and sisters? The educating of our children has to be important, brothers and sisters. And we're talking about ruling our future. Are you talking about ruling your future, family? That's the thing. Maybe I'm talking to the wrong people. Because if I believe in ruling the future and you don't believe in ruling the future and I'm talking to you about ruling the future and all the pressure is on me because I'm believing that I see a way out. I see a way to turn this thing around. And that is by taking control of our future. And how do we take control of our future? We take control of our future by taking control of our children's education. That's how we take control of our future. That's how we take control of our future. We take control of our future by taking control of our children's education. Period. Period. We take control by taking control of our children's education. Because when we take control of our children's education, we know why our children are headed because we created the curriculum that is being taught to our children. We're able to put culture in our curriculums. There's no culture for our children in the curriculum. They talk about how everything got to be so general, right? Everything got to be so inclusive. Yet They got critical race theory in the building. Who voted on critical race theory getting in the building? They talking about same-sex marriage and all these different sexual things, sexual parts of society that they're taking into the school and teaching our children. Well, I understand sexual ed and STDs and things like that, but children are taught that at a certain age. We're talking about our toddlers. Toddlers are being taught about same-sex marriage. What does same-sex marriage have to do with a kindergartner, a preschool baby, a first grader, a second grader, a third grader? Why are these small children hearing anything about sex? But that's what's taking place in our schools. And you and I didn't get an opportunity to vote on that. The government voted on that. The government chose to take those programs into the schools. Now, you can feel how you want to feel about same-sex marriage, transgenderism. You can feel the way you want to about homosexuality. You can have your opinion about that. You really can. But nobody's going to look me in my face and justify children being taught sex. There's no way in the world a first grader should be feeling sexual in any way, shape, fashion, or form, y'all. But we living in a society where our government seems to have an agenda. A sexual agenda. A sexual agenda. If you're talking about sex, that's a sexual agenda. Why is there a sexual agenda being targeted at our children? By the same government that say they don't have resources to put into our schools for our children. You know, when you really sit back and you think about that, you have to ask yourself the question, brothers and sisters, how much impact do you really have over your child's education? You know, they say the successful students have parents who believe that their child's education is their responsibility. They say successful students have parents who believe their child's education is their responsibility. If you don't believe that your child's education is your responsibility, or if you realize and you know that you're not giving your best effort to your child's education, brothers and sisters, I will ask you to first ask yourself the question, why? Why are you not taking more responsibility in your child's education? I don't care if you're the primary parent. I don't care if you're the weekend parent. We're talking about your child's education. Every time you see your child, somewhere in that visit, we need to be working on something, talking about education. You need to talk to your child about education. You need to inform your child how important education is. And I'm not saying everybody got to have a college degree, but everybody should have a high school diploma or a GED. Everybody. Everybody should have a high school diploma or GED. Dropping out of high school, dropping out of school should not even be an option. I'm talking to the mama that dropped out. Mama, you need to go get your GED. Because school ain't been important to you, family. If you got children coming up behind you and you're going to be talking about you got to work and this, that, and the third, you owe it to yourself to finish off your education so you can inspire your child to finish their education. You can't teach somebody to do something that you've never done. If you dropped out of school, family, you're not going to be in the house promoting education because you don't know what it feels to accomplish in education. Because at the end of the day, you're going to always be thinking in your mind how you didn't finish your education. So we stay away from things that make us feel bad. If you are a dropout, you are not proud of that. And if you are a dropout, you are not about to be sitting in the house trying to promote education. You can say go to school and do this, that, and the third. But if your child asks you, mama, did you finish your high school? And you say no, and they ask you why not, what you gonna say? You ain't gonna have an excuse that's good enough. Because you might have to do this, that, and the third when you was in high school. Every situation is different, family, right? But you grown now. You can finish up your high school diploma. You can go get that, family. Ain't no excuses about not having a high school education, family. None. None. Because by the time you're in high school, you understand what responsibility is. You might not act like you don't understand what it is, or you might have some poor parenting, but you know in high school, for you to finish high school, it's on you. And you got to want to do it. We can't blame our parents. We can't say, oh, my mama wasn't this, or my daddy wasn't there, or my grandmother was this, and my granddaddy was that. We can't make these excuses when it comes to us accomplishing goals for our life. Why are we looking for excuses? That's not what this is, family. Life is not about what best excuse can you come up with, because the best excuse is going to put you in the worst situation. Because you're there because of an excuse. You're there because you didn't get to work and put down what you needed to put down. And you didn't get done what you needed to get done. That's what it is at the end of the day, family. It ain't about an excuse. Excuses give you an option not to finish. That's what excuses do. Excuses give you the option not to finish. You know, brothers and sisters, we got to quit being great excuse makers. And we got to start giving great effort to our future and to our lives. That's what we have to do. We have to stop depending on institutions who are not going to give us the best. They're just going to give us just enough. And what we got to do with just enough, family, we got to turn just enough into greatness. And we got to push ourselves, family. We've always had just enough, family. Always in education. But what we must do is just like our brothers and sisters before us. We have to take just enough and work hard and take just enough and turn it into greatness. Just like the brothers and sisters before us have done. You know, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you, family, to stay focused, to stay locked in, and to stay determined to achieve your goals, because they're your goals to achieve, family. I want you to understand that if we're talking about owning our future and having control of our future, we must first take control of our children's education. Why? Because we have to be specific about what we want our future to look like. So we want our future to look a certain way. We have to prepare our children for that future, because our children are that future. The children are our future. So if we are building our future, we have to build our children. We also have to build our mindset. Adults, we have to build our mindset and how we're going to impact and how we're going to influence. Period. Period. Enough of the belly aching and crying and walking around with your lip poked out, family. Let's be a little bit more locked in on what we can get done as a people, instead of belly aching and crying about what's not getting done by others for our people. Nobody's going to come in here and do anything for black people that black people don't first do for themselves. Brothers and sisters, we don't need nobody to come in here and do nothing. What we need to do is we need to do what we've done in the past that works. We need to take control of our future. We need to begin to work within ourselves. We need to begin to work within our communities. We need to begin to work through our schools. We need to begin to work through our churches. Churches are very important. Churches have people inside of them. Those people have a certain mindset. But hey, man, before you're a Christian, before you're a Jehovah's Witness, before you're a Muslim, you're a black person. Don't nobody know your religion, but everybody see what skin color you have. And all I'm saying to you, family, your child can get killed too. Your child can get undereducated too. Your child is undervalued as well. So while we running around arguing about what to call God, let's focus on the fact that we black first, y'all. We black first. We black first. Our children are black, brothers and sisters. The communities that we live in are black, brothers and sisters. And the challenges that face our community can be changed and handled and overcome if we work together as a people. And what I'm saying is not new. But I'm saying that we have to take control of our children's education. And that starts in the home. And then that, and then it starts in all our homes. I'm not talking about one or two homes or the upper middle class family. I'm talking to everybody. I'm saying everybody child need to be reading in their house every day. If it's 7 days a week, your child needs to be reading at least 7 hours a week. Ain't nothing wrong with your child reading an hour every day. Why? Because we are impacting your child's future, because we are building a future through your child as a people. And if we begin to look at our children as those valuable assets, then we begin to care more about our children. We begin to care more about their education. We begin to care more about their mental and emotional ability. We begin to care more about their safety. And not just their safety, but the safety of all the children in our community, the safety of all the children in our schools. And then if we start coming together, the schools will get better because we'll be inside the schools. The schools are lackluster because the effort of the parent is lackluster. Once again, successful students have parents that believe that their child's education is their responsibility. If more of us begin to move in that mindset about our children's education being our responsibility, we'll have more parents in the school. We'll have more parents on the LLC. Then we'll have more creativity, more passion, more fire for our children's education and for the future of our children. And then we will begin to take over our children's education because we will be involved in our children's education. The reason things are going across the table like critical race theory and things like that, because our parents are not in place. Period. Because our parents don't feel that they're in charge, that they're responsible for their children's education. Because once we realize that we are responsible for our children's education, we will apply ourselves. We will respond to our responsibility. We will apply ourselves to our position, and then we will execute our position, which is to make sure our children get the best education. So then when we have more parents involved, the resources will get better, the equipment will get better, the play area will get better, because parents will be present and demanding that their children have the best, which will secure our future and make sure our future is better. It's just that simple. Peace. I'm your man, Mo Morris, the One Man Army, and thank you for listening to Hood Radio. Peace. I'm your man, Mo Morris, the One Man Army, and thank you for listening to Hood Radio. What up, Chicago?